This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Now we bring in our good friend Dan Orlovsky from ESPN. Dan, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Hopefully you are as well.
We are hanging in there. So what's your take on the college football situation? Do you think they'll play, and do you think they should?
Yeah, they're going to play. I mean, I feel pretty confident in that. I think that you're seeing the voices of, you know, big-time players speaking up for not only themselves, but also for maybe the less notable and maybe less brand-name players. You're hearing coaches. The coaches get it. Those guys understand how impactful they are and on the players. And so do I think they should? Listen, everyone knows the economic impact of it. I would say this. There's a lot of evidence that we have right now of some leagues and some sports doing this relatively successfully. Now, most of them are bubbling, but we haven't seen something from college football that is going to be this absolute, let's fly all the way across the country every single week, and these kids are going to be able to do what they want. So, you know, I think that the colleges are trying to create these little bubbles. I would say this. I was a college athlete, and I had, because I was fortunate with the way I was raised and the coaches that I had in high school, I had a decent amount of self-discipline and decent decision-making in that 18 to 22-year-old range. I saw countless teammates, when they had idle time, make terrible decisions that affected their life. And I think that people need to understand that when a football player goes to college, what happens is every single thing that they do is revolved around the football schedule. So on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever, if they have practice from the 2 o'clock window to the 4:30 window, then treatment for an hour, then team meal from 2 to 7 PM, that's their football day. Mandatory. Everything academic-wise is going to be scheduled before 2 p.m. So let's say they got school 8 to 12, right? They're taking, more often than not, they're taking the minimum amount of hours. So if we take football away from these kids, what do they do from 12 to 10 o'clock at night every single day? That is idle time. They won't have anybody mandating things on them. That's where I go, I get where these players are coming from, saying we want football and we need football because we're honest with ourselves and know that the structure is paramount for us.
If there is no football, Dan, how can the NFL take advantage of that? Would you see them play on Saturday nights?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you'll see NFL Thursday night. You'll see NFL Saturday afternoon. You'll see NFL Saturday night. Obviously, Sundays and Mondays. And so, you know, I would say with the NFL changing their schedule, there'd be two, if college football does not happen, I would say two things that I would pay attention to, because the reality is, and you guys know this, up in the Northeast, most of the demographic is NFL football fans. In the Southeast, most of the demographic is college football fans. In the Midwest, it's a little bit of a mix, but you got diehard college football fans. So if the NFL decides to play on Saturday, they got to be very strategic with who they have play on Saturday. Like, I'm thinking you have some of those Southeast and Midwest teams part of your game packages on Saturdays, and keep your potential West Coast and Northeast teams on Sundays. And then the second thing is, right now the NFL has all of their COVID protocol testing-wise, and when a player tests positive or negative and quarantine, all that stuff. It's based off a Sunday-to-Sunday schedule. So if they start taking games, moving them from Sundays to Fridays, how does that change the COVID testing protocol? Because what happens if I'm a coach and I got a guy that tests positive, he's got to stay in quarantine for X amount of time, and now my game that was going to be on Sunday is now on a Friday, and that guy doesn't qualify to come off my, you know, COVID list or whatever, and now that player is not able to play for me. That would be something that I would pay very attention to see if NFL tweaks some of those rules as well.
So, Dan, there are some people that don't think there will be college football. You seem to think there will be because of the money involved. But if there's not, how will the – I mean, this is mundane compared to lives, but when we're talking about football, how would the NFL evaluate players? What would they do?
Tape. You know, that's your heartbreak.
But there's no tape for this year.
they would go last year. I mean, you Joe Burrow had a great tweet. He said, man, if this was last year, you know, obviously my situation would be very different. They'd have to go to the 2019 tape. And then I could also see something where the NFL does, for graduated seniors, their own version of an NFL combine where maybe it's not just drill work. Maybe it is, you know, 7-on-7 work, or almost marrying with the potential Senior Bowl, or maybe the Senior Bowl grows and you have a bigger group of players. So, you know, I think that's the big challenge right now, and that the NFL will be tasked with, is how do they evaluate some of those guys, because there's guys that aren't worthy draft picks right now that would become worthy guys with good senior years and vice versa. So everyone, a lot of people have talked about this being a very, you know, or it seems that they think it's a very black and white thing. I don't. There's a lot of color and nuance to this. There's no potentially perfect or right answer. But I think that college football, both the players and the coaches, are starting to realize how much they want to play, and honestly how safe they feel with how things are going. And the NFL is just sitting there waiting, going, if there's opportunity, we will strike and we'll adjust accordingly in the future.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Dan, in the NFL, how problematic could it be? We're hearing that teams are kind of trying to really quarantine their quarterbacks and keep quarterbacks separate from the rest of the team. Cannot imagine that is great for developing camaraderie among a quarterback and his offense. Do you think we'll possibly see some big dips in like prime quarterback performance?
Not prime quarterback performance, no. You know, those guys, listen, these guys are the best in the world, 7-plus billion people. And so the 15 of them, or the, you know, dozen of them, they're really going to be who they are no matter what. You know, I've said this. It's not the best team that's going to win this year. It's probably the team that catches a little bit of breaks. It's the team that respects each other the most off the field and itself is the most off the field. So, you know, like the quarantining the quarterback thing, a lot of that is going to be dependent on how diligent they are with their off the field or outside of football life, but also how much their teammates are as well. Because, you know, if you've got a team that is committed to, all right, I'm not going to go bowling or to the movies or out to get a drink or going out to dinner in big settings, like if you got a team that is committed to that, mm-hmm. you probably don't have to be super cautious of quarantining your quarterback. But if you've got a team that maybe has a little bit more a little bit less maturity and a little bit less leadership, and you don't necessarily know if guys are going to abide by that stuff, you probably have to be more cautious of taking care of your quarterback. That's why I think, you know, every year the backup quarterback is paramount, but this year the teams that are set up the best with backups, like Indy and Dallas, teams like that, they're probably going to have to use those guys, and they're at a huge advantage because of it.
Dan Orlovsky, ESPN football analyst, joins us here on the Michael Kay Show. I'm worried about the Giants, and I know that their coach is saying all the right things. Everybody's going through the same thing. But this is his first year. He's 38 years old. He's got a second-year quarterback with a new offensive coordinator, and they're not going to play one preseason game. How do you expect the Giants to be a functioning offense without any reps against another team?
Yeah, obviously the challenge is massive. A couple things that I would push back on maybe and say that they're equipped to handle this. One, Joe Judge has been a part of the Patriots for such a long time. Does that mean he's going to be successful? No. But it does mean that he has learned to deal with distractions really well at that position. That leadership position, New England has dealt with countless distractions over the last 15 or 20 years. And so he's been able to watch how someone led a group of men through distractions. And this is something that, you know, I don't want to minimize COVID at all. It's enormous. But it's something that when it comes to doing your job will distract you from doing that. So I think Judge is at least more equipped than maybe a coach that was able to experience that stuff. to Jason Garrett for all of his head coaching flaws, if people want to point to it. He does understand that position really well. He's got guys who play quarterback really well at the NFL level and getting them to play consistently at a high level. So that is an advantage. And I'd say that Daniel Jones is for the flaws that he may have, he's also a maniacal worker. He's very bright, great leadership skills. And so, you know, I think that when you have those attributes at the quarterback position, you can overcome some of the physical reps that are needed because you're so committed to getting mental reps. Daniel Jones is going to be a guy that's on the field by himself running reps just because he's so committed to trying getting better. And so I think that's an advantage. Listen, the Giants defense is going to be awful this year. And so for them, it's more, can Daniel Jones repeat the freshman year? Can he repeat a good rookie season? And then, you know, Saquon Barkley, you want to see him be representative of his rookie self. So I think there's some things there that will help them. Can Slayton repeat that rookie year as well? Will help them because of the characteristics of the important people.
Now the Jets, they lose Jamal Adams to the trade. C.J. Mosley is opted out. Can Greg Williams still have that be a top 10 defense, or are those two losses you just can't survive?
Those are some tough losses. You know, they played well without Mosley last year for a decent stretch. And I remember my buddy Bob Wischusen talking very distinctly to me early in the year saying they can't lose their really good players because they could be good if their five best players stay healthy all year. And they kind of broke that trend because Mosley obviously got hurt early on. Everyone knows how good of a player he is. But Marcus May is a good player as well. And Greg Williams is a guy. You know, there's some defensive coordinators, this is not a flaw of theirs, but they are very much so dependent on the player, right? So example would be, you know, in Seattle's defense with Pete Carroll, if you didn't have four guys that were going to be able to get home and rush the quarterback, I don't care who played linebacker or corner. They were going to be lesser players because the scheme that they played, they had seven sets of eyes on the quarterback. The rush gets home, ball gets out quicker, everybody's seeing the ball get out quicker. So, like, everybody was elevated because of that. Greg Williams is a guy that, you know, obviously wants good players, but he will force things happening. He will do everything he can to generate the movement and generate the activity of an offense. And so, as great as Jamal is, I think Greg Williams schematically is the type of defensive coordinator that is able to understand what his team does well and doesn't do well and allow them to major in the strengths and minor in the weaknesses.
All right, Dan, we have about 30 seconds, so I'll ask you this. So many people, important people, have opted out of the Patriots. They have a new quarterback in Cam Newton. Will they be good or will they be mediocre?
They'll be mediocre at best. They were going to be a fringe playoff team before Cam. They became a 6-7 seed with Cam, but with all their opt-outs, they've got a terrible skill unit. Their defense is decimated. And they're going to be running a brand new system trying to win games. So, you know, I think that they're a 7-9, 8-8 football team.
Stay well. Thank you, Dan. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Be safe.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.